Here comes Chazare, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76 all, Chazare flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazare goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, and River Park. This is the Rye Show for your wet Thursday. It's the pack meter. Matty J, I don't know about you, but that rain was coming last night.
Love to hear it. Love to see it. Can't coach it, but I could win with it.
Well, I don't know. Some farmers might not like it right now. With a lot of fruit coming off. Cherries? We'll see. I don't know.
Let's not overdo it. It passed without too much damage.
It came down, though.
It came down, absolutely.
And there's a chance it's going to rain through the weekend, or are we done?
We're slowing her down, and we're finishing up. Got a few more sprinkles coming in next week, glad to see it.
Yeah, well, I like this weather a lot better when it's 103 in May, so we'll take it right now.
I like this global warming. It's a good sign.
Exactly. Well, we don't want to get into that. One of these days, we'll do a sports political show.
That'll be our last show, but we'll give it a shot.
It'll be good night, everybody, but you and I, it'd be a big deal. Mm-hmm. So it's the Pag Meter, Matty J. Rye Show Thursday, championship Friday and Saturday coming up for baseball, softball. We're going to break down today. It's a Cinderella story for the greatest coach we've ever had, going for his ninth section championship. We're going to talk about that as well. James Patrick, they were down. Clovis was down to San Luis Obispo yesterday, down in Salo. And they come back and win, and I'm thinking it's meant to be, because you and I are going to be broadcasting the big game at Pete Biden Field on Saturday night, taking on Frontier.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, it couldn't happen, obviously, to a better man, to a better staff, and to the preeminent program, whether you take victories and all that aside. The way he has manipulated his crew of ballplayers this year to get into another Division I championship game, and we've seen them play this year, and they had some ups and downs, but I certainly didn't think they were up to the task to go make a run for another championship, and sure enough, they're back.
I predicted, I was looking back at my February predictions to who's going to be playing to Pete Biden. We'll talk about all those today, but I had Frontier playing Buchanan. I was half right. I thought Buchanan would be the team. They had their issues this year, Buchanan Bears, with the coaching issues. Frontier came in and shut them out. Now the question is, they used a lot of pitchers yesterday. Went 11 innings and beat Rigetti 2-1. So they used a lot of pitching. Clovis should have the advantage, and they're at home. It's going to be a huge crowd. There's nothing like championship baseball at Pete Biden and, of course, across the street at Bulldog Diamond.
And there's nothing like any time you can get matchups north versus south, and south including in the Visalia area and other schools that we've seen in championship games. It's great to see. You know, when you keep a championship in one conference, or you keep it only in the north or only in the south, it doesn't create this kind of excitement and energy. But with Frontier getting ready to roll up in here against the Clovis Cougars, you can't ask for a better matchup.
Yeah, I came in this year, Frontier ranked number two, and I got all the pay meter. What are you doing? They're not that good. I go, well, let's look at it. They're all coming back this year.
Yeah.
So everybody came back. Frontier's a really, really good team. Last year, you and I broadcasted Stockdale, thumped Clovis West. It was really men against boys. Sorry, Clovis West, but that Stockdale team was very special last year.
Yeah, our listeners in the fan base, whether they follow casually or they're obsessed with checking out the Pag Meter, you need to kind of fall in line. I must say, the Pag Meter rankings are every year, all the variety of sports, all the different game point spreads, if you will, and what's going to happen. You've been surprisingly close on most of this stuff. picking Frontier early in the year as number two in our valley, that was a big stretch by a lot of people's minds, but not the Pag Meter.
I just like when a team, it's like football, Matt.
Quarterbacks.
I look the quarterbacks and the offensive line. Who's coming back? Baseball, they had their whole pitching staff coming back. And Frontier is awfully good. Clovis is playing lights out. There's a lot of teams red hot right now. We're going to talk about it today. We're also going to talk about Madera Coyotes. Cade Sherrod is going to be in here. He's got a special story, and you kind of read about it. But that's something.
Well, I've read about it, and obviously being in that area, I knew about it. I just wasn't, after reading his letter and to the SJVOA and to speak on his path that he led himself through the world of high school athletics, I don't think I've ever read that much of disaster happening to a young student athlete and continually bouncing back. A true, true warrior, and obviously makes the Coyote Blue very proud to have someone like that come through a program.
A couple things on the Pag Meter's mind off sports, but and you'll know, you'll relate to this. Driving down 41 or even 99, how high do the weeds got to be? The dry weeds on the side of the road. But is that our game plan? We're just going to have a fire. Those brush fires you're going to read about, and you'll see the smoke 38 miles away. They're really tall right now.
When they're coming over the top of the road that I travel on and almost brushing up against the side of my passenger door, that's when I pretty much, you know, like you saw it, I saw it. That's where I like to bring attention to it. We're just one more stretch of a month of dry season before some yahoo. And by the way, let's keep talking about all the things that go wrong in the world of athletics and in the world of that we live in. But how about this concept, folks? Can we stop throwing litter away, please? Can we put it where it belongs? This stuff, I see a guy driving down the road. I almost had to pull, I don't know what you would call it. You know, I decide to act like I'm going to wear a badge and run this guy down. Just literally threw his whole lunch outside the window with not even a care. There goes the bag, the drink cup, just outside the window. Who does that?
I would lose it.
I mean, I lost it. Fortunately, I drive a Prius. I couldn't catch up. But that and the fact that I think the problem is we've expended every last bit of budget we have on this giant concrete jungle that we've built on the side for bullet trains. I don't know if we have any money left
to clean up the weeds. Did we not call that, Matt? Did we not call that 3 years ago?
3 years ago, I called it the moment that someone was actually thinking of voting on something so crazy. But here we are, and I was looking forward to that. And why is that important in the world of sports? Because for a moment there, I thought, well, maybe I can catch that train and go see all kinds of good athletic events and get with the Pag Meter where we can take our notes on our laptop and not worry about driving and looking and dealing with the cell phone and all the dangers that are on the freeways. I thought maybe this could be a good deal. But that lasted for about 30 minutes when I realized the state that we live in and the scope of this project. Incredible. Just stop. Can we just stop? No, let's complete at least 6 miles of stretch of it so we can just look at it every day we drive to work.
Can we recycle cement? Because the bridges have got to come down. We have to recycle it, right?
Oh, yeah. You can chew it up, spit it out, and put it as pea gravel in your garden
at home.
Well,
we can pave some of the freeways. There's some major problems.
There has to be a use for it.
The other complaint I have, so tomorrow, Nick and Nick, we've got our shows back at Blast and Brew, Old Town Clovis. 3:30 start time.
Blast and Brew.
Great place, people. It is one of the best in town. It's an Old Town Clovis. It is rocking at Blast and Brew.
Nice.
Now, I get a, you know, I'm a Pepsi guy. Hey, can I order a Pepsi? They bring the Pepsi over. I don't get a straw. I got to tackle the waitress. This is a state law. Well, you know, we have to ask for a straw now. But I could go to Jiffy Stop and get a big old 32-ounce Pepsi, and they got 850 straws right there. I could grab 850 straws if I want.
Once again, the fine world of government in action. Hell, we had cell phones banned from talking on the phone while you're driving, which I don't think is that big of a deal, quite frankly. I think you can still pay attention. But yet no one talked about the problem with texting. Texting and driving is the problem. Actually reaching down to punch in digits into your phone while you're driving, horrendous. Horrific. Please stop, ladies and gentlemen. But somebody came up with the idea, let's ding a restaurant because they have to ask. But yet, as you said, I can go to any retail corner convenience store and pick up 6,000 plastic straws at any time I want.
giant boxes.
Wouldn't want to attack that industry now.
Now, you can't text in the car, but they want you to read those giant billboards that are every 38 feet down 99 and 41.
Well, even worse, you go by some of these schools, and high schools included, and they've got their entire calendar of events scrolling across on a digital screen, but yet you can't. I don't get it.
So our NBA talk real fast. I'm thinking the Warriors are going to win in five.
You think? Maybe?
Maybe five. But are they better without KD?
No, absolutely. Well, they're good and great without KD. But that's the theme of what's been going around is they actually move the ball better without having KD in the let me go back to the early days of the NBA. Let's see. We actually are better if we didn't have Magic Johnson. We're actually better. If Michael Jordan, when he's not in, everyone else gets more involved. We're better. That's an absolutely ludicrous statement. They are not better without KD. However, they're so loaded with four perennial all-stars, two of the best ever at shooting. I like their chances with or without KD, clearly.
It's amazing how many threes they shoot.
I think they won a few titles without KD, and it's not like they lost anybody.
Nobody has a chance to beat the Warriors. It's over. NBA season's done.
Not when they dig in and decide to play the kind of defense. Yeah. By the way, they might be the best defensive team also out there.
Yeah, no question about it.
I was shocked to watch Milwaukee. Did you watch the Milwaukee-Toronto series last night?
Yes, I did.
I was shocked at the utter lack of any type of real athleticism to compete against the teams in the West. Once again, I'm calling out for full-scale NBA change of how they do business. The two best teams have already played. Well, one of the two best teams has already played. The Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors are the two best teams in basketball. Well, I've got to sit through this misery and wait for either Milwaukee or Toronto to get inevitably what's going to happen, a big fat whooping from the Golden State Warriors. Can we just match up and seed the tournament? Maybe two Western Conference teams are playing for the title. Have we seen enough of this crap?
Can you imagine if we did that in college basketball, the West versus the East? So it would be, you know, the West plays the best for the East, but even though the West
it would always be Gonzaga right now, but no chance. As you go past east of the Mississippi line there, basketball is played best in the middle to the east side of the country for college. But in the NBA, how long has it been? And you could throw out the LeBron James phenomena, but how has it been since the Eastern Conference has demonstrated that they have the power they used to exhibit back in the days of the 76ers and Dr. J and all? How long has it been since the West dominates basketball?
Well, when did Larry Bird retire? That's
there you go. There you go.
So, I think the Ether hoping one of these days it's eventually the West slows down. No, they got a long way to go. It's over with. The NBA season's over. I think spring training starts in June 20th. So they got about 3 days before they get a break, and then they go back to basketball again. Longest season ever.
It's a long one.
Yeah, it's a long one.
Happy to see the Dodgers and what they're doing. They're keeping it going. I mean, they have moments where they look like they're going back to the days of nothing, and they lose their bats, and their pitching goes south. But overall, collectively, they're on pace to win about 99 to 100 games again.
The greatest regular season team in the Major League history, the worst playoff team in Major League history. They got no chance until Dave Roberts figures out, well, I want to put my eight best hitters in the lineup every game. I don't care lefty versus righty, lefty, whatever. He still hasn't figured that out.
Yeah, I can't argue that point. The Dodgers have struggled at times when it looked like they had the shoe-in to win a world championship. In the world of NFL, as we get closer to the camps and everything's going on and get to see how these draft picks figure things out, here's the stat of the day. Do you know how many Super Bowls the New England Patriots have been in their history of their organization?
They're 10?
11. 11 Super Bowls, 5 losses, and 6 wins. I don't know if we're fully sinking this in or not, but I don't know if we talk enough about these guys. They've won 6 Super Bowls, have been in 11, lost 5.
Are they the greatest sports franchise ever?
I still err on the side of the Yankees.
Football, for sure.
Football, absolutely. Yeah. The Steelers are close.
So you got to put the Yankees.
But then it goes to the Cowboys.
Lakers. And then you got Patriots. Those three in Major League.
Say that again.
The Lakers maybe in the NBA.
Maybe. Lakers, Celtics.
And you got the Yankees
in the history.
Baseball.
Yankees baseball and Patriots in football. Yeah. In the world of football, they have surpassed everyone, and it's not even close at this point.
Yeah, you're talking the greatest franchise, no question about it. Yeah. When you got 11, when you're at the championship of 11 times.
When you have, yeah, when you have five runner-up trophies and six wins. I didn't even realize that. I kept hearing all these different numbers going around, and I knew that, gosh, didn't Tom Brady and the Patriots just get their sixth Super Bowl to tie the Pittsburgh Steelers as the most of all time? And I realized, what's the deal here? What else is going on? What? They've been to 11? They've lost five.
It's amazing to me that people still don't like Tom Brady after the story he has.
It's amazing to me how many groups of people still hold to that argument that they cheat. That's the only reason why they've won. They cheat better than everyone else. I'm completely lost when that discussion begins.
That's a good question. So let's say, Matt, you're coaching we're talking baseball now.
Yeah.
And you can see the catcher's signals. You know exactly what's coming. He put one finger down. I can see it. It's a fastball. And somehow you relay it to your hitter. You know, hey, Gary, whatever you want to do. This fastball's coming. Is that cheating?
My friend, is part of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
If my car in front of me, as I circle Monaco in my Grand Prix, if I've noticed that the Ferrari, who's in the lead right now, seems to brake too early going into the chicane.
Turn eight.
I think I've got an advantage of where I'm going to overtake him. Is that part of the game? Absolutely. How's that any different?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
So some people should... I think they want them to say, excuse me, but your catcher, I can see his fingers, and we know it's a fastball. Can you tell him not to do that? Is that what they want from the, you know, same with the signals in football.
Well, the people that talk the way you just described, yeah, that's what they want.
Those people? Yes.
But in football, if my offensive coordinator is giving signals to the quarterback, and every time he touches his head, it's a sweep to the right.
Don't
look at him. We know he's a sweep. Yeah. I don't want to get that advantage.
Oh, I've picked signals off before. But the problem is, it happens so fast, to get that communication onto the field, into the hands of someone who can do something with it, is almost impossible.
But you had an opportunity.
But as a player, yeah. I have many, as a player in the old, old days of football, I had many circumstances where someone came up to me, whether it was a microphone or a teammate, and asked me, how did you know? Well, I don't know. I've been listening to the quarterback throughout this game against Notre Dame, and every time he calls out black, it's pretty much their live color because 999 is the go route, and he threw the go route, right? 1, 2, 3, and 4 are short routes. When he called it out, they were short routes. So I am now completely involved in his signals at the line of scrimmage, period. You got to play the game. You got to listen and do more than just line up and play.
We're going to take a break. We're going to talk. Is Clovis Cougars baseball the greatest team in state in the last 30 years? And I'm gonna talk about, is it a Valley Championship if they win? Let's talk about that, or are we going to change the name? Don't go anywhere. It's Nick and Matt here on The Rise, 940 ESPN.
We're back. We're live. Don't turn that dial.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J. Pag Meter had some surgery this week, and I just want to tell the kids out there, sunscreen, all right? Little cancer issue on my cheek, so if you see the Pag Meter this weekend at it, when I throw out the first pitch on softball, wear your sunscreen.
Absolutely. I think you grew up in an era, as I did, where that probably wasn't as prevalent as it is today. My daughter, my kids, they're all fully aware of the dangers of the sun, especially when you live in this community. You can't help yourself. And if you happen to be a coach out there, as we always talk about at our conventions and our stuff, take care of yourselves because we're out in the sun getting exposed.
Giant hat.
Giant hat. Put on a little sunscreen. And still take your chances because – it's not good.
So true.
But
so
I'm glad
true.
To say, I'm glad to see you're getting along. I mean, you look like you got punched by Marvin Hagler. But overall, beaming, shiny, good-looking kid.
It's getting better.
Getting better.
Yeah, but so it'll take some time. So if you see a bandage on the old cheek, you'll know.
Yes.
So this weekend we got baseball, softball. Same weekend, cross the street, Matt. Baseball at Biden, of course. Bulldog Diamond, we got softball. We had a lot of upsets in softball I can't wait to talk about.
Yep.
Baseball, We got some of the best, and now we're going to talk about all of it. But
yeah, but we did get some of the best. But I was, as always, in the world of soccer and baseball, the big seeds really didn't come through this year. I mean, we're looking at what was close, an 8 seed, 7, 8
six
seed?
Six seed,
yeah. And 8 seed. What was Frontier?
I think they're an 8 seed.
I think we have a 6 and an 8 seed in a championship of Division One. And as you look down the rest of the brackets for Division Two, Three, Four, Five, a lot of the underdogs are in championship games.
Yeah, Eric Solberg texting in. Sunscreen, he says. Of course, the Miami Vice lookalike, Eric, the coach of Fresno City.
Just saw him yesterday. Thank you to Fresno City College. Great stuff they've got going on, and I want to thank the football program for visiting with me and helping me out.
Yeah, well, he knows about the sunscreen. So, yes, Eric, let's spread the word because I got beat up this week with the old Dr. Rooney. So we can spread the word out there. Kids, again. They got I know Alexa and all the girls now, they got that spray tan stuff. You don't even have to get it. So.
Oh, yeah, and also spread the word, you know, vanity and all that good stuff. And as I first met Nick Papagni, he laid out by the side of the pool getting his tan right so he could go out to Willikers and go chase
Willikers.
What he used to do in the old days. Yeah,
I remember. Out of the world.
I remember.
I thought it was World Sports
how
Cafe.
How the big Italian stallion liked to get himself prepped for his nighttime activities.
It was
with
the
you
World
and,
Sports Cafe. I
you and all
to
your
see
buddies.
You, but you were really cocky.
No,
back
I'm talking before that.
Oh,
I'm talking before that.
Well, that's Eric Solberg time.
Yeah.
He used to own Willikers back in the day.
Well, there you go.
Dave Fansler's place.
I saw you at the Black Angus in the old
Black
days
Angus,
doing your thing.
Look at you.
Yeah, you weren't much of a dancer, but you sure liked to come into the place and walk the gauntlet as you were on your search.
They did call me JT.
They did?
Yeah, that was my nickname. I don't know if that's any good, but so.
Did I strike a little nerve with you?
You're really fantastic.
I can see you're starting to feel like you remember back.
I'm starting to think about my dancing days, yeah.
You and your professional touring softball group of guys that, you know.
You met them.
I did meet them. Yep.
Marty
you guys
Bitter,
all out on traveling to different states and countries and doing your softball.
Darren and Marty Bitter.
I don't even know why they call it softball. You guys weren't playing softball. To me, softball is the underhand, slow pitch. You guys were playing regular, crank it up, bring it fast over the plate, get after
it. We'll see a lot of softball Bulldog Diamond this weekend. But
tell me about
it. I'm looking at Clovis right now. Let's talk about James Patrick. 755 wins. The all-time winningest coach ever. He's got one more chance. Okay, we don't have a state playoff. He's got eight. Well, he's got nine himself, but Clovis High School has eight Valley Championships. Now,
okay, wait a
I'm changing
yeah,
it right
now. Yeah, he coached
now.
At a different
Yeah, he coached
school.
The Memorial one year.
Okay.
And they won it. But I'm changing it now. So I want to make sure everyone understands when I see Division 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and they got the on Twitter, we're Valley Champions! You're not Valley Champions. There's only one. So that's over, by the way.
Yes.
Because we invited San Luis Obispo and Rigetti, Mission Preps, and all the teams in the
Saint
coast.
St. Joe's, everybody.
St. Joseph.
Santa Maria, they're all coming over.
Last time I checked, San Luis Obispo and everything is not a valley. Is that right?
That would be, I would consider that more coastal, yes.
Coastal. So we've conquered the valley. We're now going to the coastal.
There is no more claim to we're valley champs. There's more in our section now than just valley.
So this is what I'm starting to hear. This is what I'm going to start pushing.
Yes.
Clovis and Frontier tomorrow night are playing for a Central...
Saturday night.
I keep thinking today's Friday.
Yep.
Central Section Championship. The best, the big boys, the Division One. If you want to win a Central Section Championship, call your AD and say, we want to play in Division One. If you don't, you want to play Memorial tomorrow night. On Friday night, they play Sanger.
Yep.
That's for the Division Two Section Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Division Three. Highland will play for a Division III section championship. Division IV all the way to 6. Central section championship means you're the best of the best in all of the central section.
Why wouldn't you just say Central Section Division I champion? Central Section Division II champion.
Because I give the Division I teams a little extra credit because they're playing in the big boys.
So you're going to, from here on forth, you're going to characterize the Division I champion winners in all sports as this year's Central Section champ.
The New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. They're the Super Bowl champs. They're a little higher than Alabama. Alabama's the national champions. They're not Super Bowl champions. That's what I compare to. Right? Wrong? What's your point?
No,
what's
I agree. First part I totally agree with, which I wasn't even thinking about. But until Clovis High School went toe-to-toe with San Luis Obispo High, and then Frontier was playing
Rigetti
High School. If Rigetti beat Frontier High and San Luis Obispo beat Clovis High, we certainly would not be fighting for a Valley Championship.
Yeah.
They could not go back to their schools, one of those two schools from the coast, and say, we're Valley champs. They would simply say, we are Central Section champion.
And I don't know, before we talk about Clovis, if Rigetti did play San Luis Obispo at Pete Biden Field, it's just sad to me, but I still think there'd be more fans for watching Rigetti play San Luis Obispo than a Fresno State baseball game, and I don't understand why. Fresno State baseball should be packed every game, at least 3,000 people. All those local stars playing,
yeah,
great stadium. I don't understand why nobody's going.
Well, if I knew had the right answer completely, I would be working on, you know, I would be in Times Square working for the greatest marketing firm in sports history, and we'd be paid a lot of money to figure those kinds of things out. I have no idea. I have examples of what could be done better. You and I have always talked about more signage, more things on the freeway, announcing what a great sports mecca the Central Valley is as you drive up the 99 freeway. But to actually get people to attend these events, I there's so many variables. I just can't figure it out.
So my daughter Alexa is graduating Friday, tomorrow, at Fresno State Communications, one of the greatest marketing people there is ever. And I asked her, so I'm going to have her on next Friday.
Good.
She says, I got great, great ideas.
Yeah.
And so she's the generation that maybe has the ideas. Because I think right now is they're sitting by the phone and they're hoping and wishing,
yeah,
and praying it rings. And so maybe you get someone like Alexa who's thinking out of the box. You know, she's crazy
even
on Instagram and all that.
I agree with that. And I would agree with Alexa and your assessment of her abilities. Absolutely. But it's not like they're not sitting in rooms probably day to day trying to figure it out and they can't come up with a solution. You can't make a solution work unless there's actually people out there that are fans. There are casual fans, way too many of those, and then there are people that are obsessed and they have to have it. It's part of their day-to-day operation. Got to get to the game. Whether that's the energy I can get, the excitement at the game, whatever it might be, I don't see a lot of that anymore. I called it the blue states versus the red states. The red states seem to still have a fervor for the world of athletics and high-end competition.
True.
The blue states have too many things to do. I mean, there's a lot more activities, it seems to me, that they're engaged in. Some are absolutely very fair. They should be doing that. But we don't have these crazy, zany as much as they do,
yeah,
in the states I'm talking about that make up the red states of America.
And I think this is why you and I do so well with high school, because high school, with the school spirit, like we're going to pump up this weekend, there's going to be 3,000-plus at every game at,
yeah,
at Fresno State. And they haven't had 3,000-plus in a long time.
That's because we have a large trade area, a large customer base of people that are heavily involved, that literally, as they say in the business, have skin in the game. Could be my son, my daughter, my nephew, my niece. It could very well be my best friend's neighbor's kid going to go support the family. Could very well be that it's coaches and ex-players and players around the Valley that want to go out and have a great night of baseball and softball activity. And track and field, we'll talk about that a little bit later. There's way bigger pool of prospective fans in the world of high school than there will ever be on a college campus, ever.
Yeah, no question about it. We deal with over 120 high schools in this area alone.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. Clovis High School, James Patrick, what a Cinderella story this is, because we were all like, God, it's going to be tough. They're going to be facing a kid throwing 94 miles an hour. They got to go on, get a bus and go all the way to San Luis Obispo. But they figured out a way to come back and win that game.
The old Wiley Salty veteran clearly had something up his sleeve. And more importantly, the art of great coaching is when you have, obviously, great talent. I mean, it's not like Clovis High School isn't been dealt a hand of players.
But they were unproven, though,
Matt. I understand.
Okay.
I understand. What is the job of the coach? To get the best and squeeze every last drip and ounce of something positive out of the group that you coach. And Coach Patrick clearly has demonstrated he does that better than anyone in the history of high school baseball.
My question is going to be, who's going to take over for him? Well, is that going to be a white search, or do you think they got in the back of their mind already? Okay, like Jay Prus, Patrick.
I would hope.
Tom Donald, I keep hearing rumors.
Yes. I would hope that it's somebody that clearly at least has been around, has drank the Kool-Aid at times from that staff, Coach Patrick and the rest of his staff, that understands that little bit of chemistry that they've concocted in the hallways of the Clovis Cougars. You must stay somewhat within your program.
I think they will, and I'm starting to chant right now. I know the Clovis Cougars play at Lloyd Merriman Field, legendary Clovis Cougar way back in the day. This thing's got to be called James Patrick Stadium, just like Pete Biden Field, Bob Bennett Stadium. I want to sign Clovis Unified, if you're listening. Let's have a day to celebrate James Patrick, James Patrick Stadium. What do you think?
Well, what do you mean, what do I think? That's obvious. And I
think it's a no-brainer.
The district has probably already had discussions upon that. The bottom line is, which also makes everything about James Patrick so unique, it's not something he wants. You know, everyone loves the pat on the back, the great handshake, letting you know what a great job you did. But he has always carried himself under the radar, quietly goes about his business. All he does is win and create
and
great.
And he's funny.
And create, he's very funny, and creates great young ambassadors, young students that go out into the field of being a parent, a father, a community member, a business owner. He creates great leaders for our valley, and that, to me, is way more important than all his wins. It's just the great quality of young man that he creates.
Getting a lot of emails coming in. Well, we beat Clovis, all these teams are saying. We beat him. Clovis is a whole different team from the Eastern
Classic.
Well,
and the San Francisco Giants found a way to beat my Dodgers a few times this year, but they're not going to a championship.
I agree, but
say.
And I don't care who beat them. They're playing for the Central Section champion in the Big Boy division. And again, call your AD and say, you know what? The Pagmeter's talking about this Central Section. We want to put it on our stadium. Yeah. Well, just it's simple. Call Jim Critchlow and bump it up. I think most, don't you think nowadays everybody wants to play down? They would rather win that ring, that championship
challenged. Well, that is the new sports dynamic we live in, right, wrong, or indifferent. I was one of those guys until I took over a Madera South football program, and I want the kids to compete at the highest level. But there's a little thing called competitive equity, and whether we like it or not, that's the model that we all operate under. So in order to play in the right area of competition, you must find that happy world. It's not good in today's game to have a team that has almost zero chance of beating one of the heavyweights, and you're asking them if they ever want to have that mythical championship valley or now the new Central Section championship, they have to play up, they'll never win. It's just common good.
Well, I don't know about
you will
that.
Have an occasional Hoosier story where some small school wraps up and goes beats the big boys, but overall it's going to be overwhelmingly loss after loss against the biggest schools of the game, whatever sport that might be. That's just fact.
Division 6 Foothill Trojans, boys, of course, baseball and softball, they're both playing this weekend. And they've been struggling in Division 5 for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So competitive equity, they move to Division 6, they take advantage of it.
There you go.
So I think it's a catch-22. I think some teams that maybe struggle, maybe they don't have the athletes, maybe they don't have the right coach. So they've decided competitive equity is the answer.
Yeah, whether whatever the politics of that or however it came about, it was a trend that was happening in states like California for a long time. You've said it hundreds and thousands of times, the old everybody gets a trophy game. Well, clearly that's not the case because everyone doesn't get a trophy. But everyone has a better opportunity to go get themselves a plaque or a trophy. And the older I get, the more I understand it. I find no joy in going up against a team loaded full of college Division I athletes and feeling like we have a chance for about 6 minutes, and then the inevitable starts to creep in. I think it tears down the fabric of what we're trying to build, and no one wants to see one school over and over. Why do you think we don't like the Patriots? They win all the time. Why do you think we have problems with the Warriors? They win all the time.
People hate
winners. That's part of what they're trying to eliminate. opportunities for more student athletes to feel that sweet feel of victory.
I got nothing against it. Do you like everyone going to the playoffs? Or do you think we should, because there's some divisions before we go to break, we got to take a break, but
yeah,
south in the Kern Valley area, in Bakersfield, you either got to be 500.
We do that. Elite, that's Madera Unified. In my school district, that's how we do it. Everyone has their own version of that. Let's talk about that when we come back after the break.
On 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, and Matt, I think they got even more recliners over there.
They do, and we do this every show, and it needs to be done, and it needs to be said. How much pride do you feel in the fact that we get to do this from Fashion Furniture, and we know, as long as we've known, what Fashion Furniture stands for in our valley, in our community? Doesn't it just make you feel good that you're affiliated in any way, as small as it might be, that we get to do this show live here from Fashion Furniture?
We have a lot of people that want to sponsor this show, and they're all, if you ever noticed, everyone that Russ and Jim and everybody mentions coming in, brought to you by Bowman and Associates, they're all local.
Yeah.
We don't even let you. If you're a national company, you're not on. We only want you. Sorry. Go on another show.
Yeah. Unless Mercedes-Benz is listening, if they'd like to, you know.
Trade it out.
We just need trade. Courtesy cars on a year-to-year lease. We could talk with them.
You could put your car in the trunk of one of those Mercedes.
Well, I almost gave my car away at our track awards last night at Madera South. I almost gave Eloy, the head coach, I said, here's the keys, because he's going on to Clovis High. Speaking of Coach Patrick and the Clovis Cougar baseball team, Eloy Quintana is now going to be the head track coach, head cross-country coach at Clovis High School.
Wow. What is it? Well, he's got a track out there, right?
Well, he's got everything he needs out there. What are you talking about? He's got a heck of a good group of young men and women that are going to try to run.
If they don't have it out there, they will take and bulldoze some houses right next to Clovis High School and make it happen. That's what they got going at Clovis Unified.
Yeah, but to Coach Eloy, you know, congratulations on a great career at Madera South. And it was a real touching moment last night. I tried to get some of my football guys who were some of the throwers to throw them in the pool, but I had to jump in. He didn't want to go in the water. So they threw me in the water instead.
And speaking of Madera South, how about the volleyball team? Is that a historic year or what?
Well, I would consider it definitely historic when you're matched up against Monta Vista out of Danville, California, who's ranked 37th. Now, they're ranked 37th in the nation. And for guys like you and I who come from the world of baseball, football, and basketball and all that, track and field, you get a 37th-ranked national ranking attached to you. You're thinking, what the greatest?
We're talking Sweet 16.
But there's only, volleyball's played in California and like two other states. They dabble in it in Arizona, and they dabble into it, obviously, into the state, great state of Hawaii. But California has those 37, maybe 30 of those are all schools from California.
Bakersfield doesn't even play volleyball, by the way.
Yeah, and the Madera South Stallions took it in a five-set, all the way to five sets, lost the first two. They could have crumbled up, packed up their bags, and said it was fun, nice while it lasted, being the Division II section champions in our central section. But they decided, you know what, we came all this way, let's dig in, and they fought back and won the next two sets to send it into a 15-point run for the fifth set winner, and lost in a narrow loss to Monta Vista.
And that's why I always say in volleyball, if you have a team down 2-0, you better kick them when they're down, because if you let them, that little light coming back, you get that momentum going, it's hard. It's hard to come back, but, you know, Monta Vista did it. Hey, how about some coaching moves in high school basketball, Matt? And I just want to say real fast, the track boys basketball, it might be the best coaching in the history of, or not history, in the United States. Check out this. The new head coach of Buchanan Bears, it's Brooks Mollum. He was the Idaho University basketball operations, head of operations of Idaho College. Mm-hmm. Then you have Vance Wahlberg. Might have heard of him. Coach for the Sacramento Kings, and Adrian Wiggins in Fresno State. That's pretty good coaching in one little league.
Yeah,
have you ever heard of that?
Never. No question. It's of course, the pedigree, if you will, of Vance Wahlberg clearly is more than anyone else. I mean, he wasn't just an assistant with the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, he was a legend going in.
One of his best friends, I don't know if you ever heard him, is John Calipari of Kentucky, so he gets the chance to get on the phone with him when he needs to, or go to a clinic and get some advice on defense or offensive basketball. But he also was the head coach at Pepperdine, you know, a Division I fighting for a chance to go to the, you know, to the tournament. That's and he started, you know, in high school, so he's back to high school. That's about as good a resume as you're ever going to find.
And look at Adrian Wiggins, who had Fresno State rolling back in the day until he left.
Another Division I college basketball coach with that kind of experience. And then the latest one that you've sprung on me, Coach Mullen?
Mullum.
Coach Mullum.
From Idaho University, that's head of director operations of basketball, Idaho University, the Vandals.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. I mean, I put him at number three. I mean,
But still, he comes from college like this.
Well, I know, but that's you sold me that he was like, you know, the Vandals head coach or something. He's a director of operations. It's a great job, don't get me wrong, and it's a lot of experience that he brings to the table. But we're talking Vance Wahlberg and
I'm just saying
Adrian Wiggins.
They were
in charge. They were running the ship of a Division I program.
I'm just saying, for an area, we're not really known. We're known for baseball around here. Baseball probably ahead of anything with baseball. Basketball's not really known. We're starting to get on the map now with Jalen, and we saw the Mr. Lopez last night have a great game. We're coming. But we're still not there for basketball. But you get coaching like that in the Valley, it's huge.
I think this is where you and I begin to have our first real argument of the show, because okay. I've always said that we are that in basketball. We're a small market with some tremendous basketball talent that finds its way through our valley. Commiserate with the size of our community and the talent that we put forth. Heck, it wasn't too long ago. What, we had 3-4 NBA guys from our own valley playing that were high schoolers in our valley. Deshaun Stevenson, the Lopez
saying,
brothers, Pondexter. I'm talking, that's incredible.
But I'm talking feast or famine.
I know.
There's no in between.
We're not talking, you're right, baseball.
We get one scholarship maybe a year around here. Maybe. Okay, even our best players, even though, you know, Nick Anderson's son Cole, been invited to the 100 best players in the country in Virginia next month.
Yeah.
How good is that? Talking the 100 best as a sophomore.
Yeah. And it's, you know, well deserving because he's such a youngster who's beyond his age and maturity, and his level of consistency could get better and better each year. But no, it's been more than one. Depends on what you consider one. Yeah.
Well,
so we had one guy go to a school that was actually on someone's radar screen, but we have several talented girls and boy basketball players that go off to
I'm not talking girls.
Okay,
girls is way beyond boys around
here.
Yeah. But boys basketball is on the bottom of the totem pole around here. Bottom.
Yeah.
Way below.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm trying to say.
Well, I know it's not. I mean, track and field, we're stepping up.
We're starting to
and
come
we're,
around.
And once again, I think we are the bastion of track and field when you relate it to size of community. I think we have as much or more talented track and field athletes, boys and girls, than what other regions in our sections around our state of California have compared on the population we have.
So this year, though, Matt, is this a good, great average year for track and
I think
field?
It's a great year.
Wow.
Great year.
Compared to the Jenna Prandini year? Or kind of just underneath it?
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe. We have a young lady from Clovis West who's in the pole vault that's making noise. And I always compare, too. It's funny. I watched the Pac-12 championships of track and
You're
field.
Talking
and
about
we're
going to
get Walter.
Lizzie Funk?
We're
going to
get Walter
yeah.
Jackson after this on, after we get through this. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's continue to – let's go back. We'll save the track and field for a little bit later. But let's talk about finishing with baseball and softball, the tournaments coming up. We were onto that, and you were onto something, you know, very important.
Well, I'm talking about the Clovis Cougars have to be the best baseball program in the last 30 years. Now, Buchanan fans are, Pag Meter, you know, well, Buchanan's been really good since 2005. That was the year I coached, got our first ring. I still got the ring. So since 2005, Buchanan took off. Before, they were the Buffalo Bills. They were in three championships. They didn't get there.
Yeah.
The Clovis Cougars, nine championships. And James is going for number 10, but Clovis is going for number 9.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the Buchanan Bears are to equate it to the National Football League, or let's use college football. The Buchanan Bears are Clemson. And Clovis High School compared to college football, they're Alabama. They've just knocked off championships after championships after championships. The legacy, the tradition of Clovis High School is number one in the world of baseball in our valley.
A football, of course, at Bakersfield, right?
Football, you cannot question the 36 or whatever championships that Bakersfield had. You are correct.
Basketball, Clovis West?
Basketball, Edison High School or Clovis West?
Now, Clovis Edison High School has a new basketball coach, Jervis Cole. What do you think?
Like to hear it. I've always admired Jervis.
He's never been a head coach, so he's getting a shot at Edison High School, and I think they probably feel like he can bring some kids in now, or they'll stay home.
Yeah, so, be nice.
So congratulations to Jervis Cole, former Washington Union state champ, and, of course, Fresno State Bulldog. Look at all these coaches are coming in the ranks here.
Good man.
We're
going to
take a break. We're going to catch up with Cade Sherrod if he's in the house somewhere. There he is. We'll come back with Cade.
Yes.
He'll be in the house. Also, we're going to break down all the baseball and softball championships in the 1 o'clock hour. Do not want to miss this. Don't go anywhere. 940 ESPN.
We'll be back. Don't turn that dial.
Has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's gone! And we're tied! 76 all. Chazeray flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazeray goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. And we're going to have another great show Saturday night. The Pag Meter, Matty J, and 940 ESPN Radio is going to bring you the Central Section Championship, the Frontier Titans taking on the Clovis Cougars. We'll have the broadcast for you Saturday night, Matt. I think the weather will be fine. I'm excited. Maybe we can have another call just like you had on the basketball.
And I'm certainly will. There'll be at least something to talk about. The hot dogs will be hot. And the beverages will be good.
Yeah, no question. I think playing at Pete Biden Field is going to be better. Nothing against Rawhide. That is a cute little stadium. But I think it's going to be more people know that it holds more people.
It is definitely a cute little stadium.
It is a cute little stadium.
You came up with
nice?
Cute.
It is a cute little stadium.
Yeah, it's a sexy stadium. It's
well,
sexy.
Well, about that. Let's not go back. You got the barn out in right field.
It is. It is aesthetically appealing, and it's really down earth. It's salt of the earth good stuff.
Well, this hour, we're going to talk plenty of softball and baseball for you, get you ready for this weekend. We'll talk with Bob Cajanian. He thinks nobody's going to show up for the Stockdale Bullard game, and I hate to differ with Bob. There's going to be a packed house. The Bullard Night Nation is going to be bringing it in Long Stockdale. I want to bring up now one of the best stories I've ever heard. A little man, I know he's not little, Cade Sherrod. I love his dad, Kevin, who runs Lockwood Seed out there in Chowchilla. Cade, welcome in.
Hi, nice to be here.
Well, you know, Matt and I heard your story when we played in the Madera Golf Tournament where we finished second?
Fourth.
That was close. Yeah, but we had a lot
of
fun.
Well, Coach Kenny Paulinelli too, and he brought Cade in here, and it's always good to see Kenny.
Yeah, I'm gonna put the headsets on Kenny, and you guys could talk in a minute. But, Cade, great story. Tell everyone you're a Madera Coyote. Tell us what happened. Give us a couple, a minute of your story, and then we'll start talking about it.
So I began Madera football I went in as a freshman around 2016, and I got brought up to varsity my freshman year during playoffs. And then I began my sophomore year up on varsity. I became the starting center for the varsity team. And then about our last game, when we were about to play Madera South, I unfortunately sustained an injury to my right knee where I tore my ACL, MCL, meniscus.
Oh.
and had to have it all replaced and redone. And then I did the surgery at Sierra Pacific Spock, where they're amazing. They helped me through the whole way there. And then I came back, played a couple more weeks, and then I retore my meniscus to the point where I couldn't extend my leg all the way. So I went in, had my knee shaved, the inside of it, and fixed up again, did my therapy, and I came back. And, of course, just thinking the whole way with my athletic mentality that this is something that I'll get over. So then I came back, and it was about a year apart from my first ACL injury. I tore my left ACL at a practice again. So I had to restart my whole entire process again with Spock and everything, do the 9 months of physical therapy. And I did that, and I was approaching my senior season, and I was super excited to finally play again with the guys that I've grown up since about second grade. But then I was probably 2 months out from getting cleared from Spock to be able to play my senior season when I re-tore it at Sierra Pacific during therapy one day and had to restart the whole process on my left knee to have my ACL replaced and my whole meniscus shaved out.
There's parts of this experience you've been through that, you know, it's tragic for a great athlete and a big fellow like you that I've always admired from afar with great ability to excel extremely well on a football field. But the most important part of your story is I read your story on paper last night, Nick and I reviewing this. It speaks, and I'll talk to Coach Polinelli about this too, to the ultimate story of what athletics and perseverance and determination and stick-to-itiveness and all the buzzwords we use as coaches, you continued. When it happened the first time, then it happened the second time, then it happened on the other leg the third time, then another time. Through all of that, do you understand how many young athletes would have just said, that's it, that's my lot in life, I quit, I'm done, I don't want it? No. But you continued on. Was this something as you went through that you just knew that your upbringing, your great family, I know your father, but you just had to continue to push to come out the other end? That, to me, is the story. The tragedy of the athletic injuries is, Kenny, he knows, it's just pain, whatever sport you're playing. But it's that ability to get yourself off the canvas and go answer the bell for round 6 and 7 and 8. And you did that. Who was your inspiration? How did you get that feeling of keeping after it?
The inspiration for all this would probably be my late grandfather, Glenn Waldhart. He's just a person that was a big role model to me throughout my whole entire life. He passed away about the end of my freshman season.
Yeah.
And just seeing how he broke his hip, he fell, got sick, and just seeing how he kept on fighting to get better and better, even though eventually he passed away.
Yep.
But just seeing his motivation and his determination to try and get better and stay good for his family motivated me to do the same thing for, I consider my whole football team as my family.
Yeah, absolutely.
To try and get better, to be able to be with them again.
Exactly. Before I introduce Coach Kenny Polinelli, the head football coach, Madera High School, the Coyotes, you obviously, and I'll talk to the coach about this, you uplifted an entire community with your courage and your determination to move on. And then not only you could wallow on the sidelines and ride a bicycle, stationary bike, but no, you were actively involved in the training element, which led you to become this great physical sports trainer. I'd see you taping ankles at track meets and stuff, and I always thought, like, God, I thought that guy was in high school. I didn't know he was the head of the training department of Madera, but people always say, no, that's Kate. That's God, I thought he was a... And then I'd see you coaching freshman ball. So Kenny Polinelli, you lived through this entire experience, right? You were there as a player and then through and then as a coach. Mm-hmm. In the coach's room, had to be just painful to watch what this young man was going through.
Yeah, it was extremely painful to watch what he was going through. We felt it ourselves. I mean, every time he tore his knee, it was like we did. You know, we were all rooting on him. So, you know, not only his teammates, but all of our coaching staff, because we know how hard he worked. We know how, you know, the time that he put in, both mentally and physically, to the game, that, you know, if there was ever one kid that deserved it, it was this kid, you know. Yep. And so I think the role that he molded himself into, you know, because a lot of kids would say, you know, hey, you know, screw sports, I'm done with it, you know. I've had so much adversity, but the kid just kept fighting. And then, you know, the mindset to flip it over and like, hey, there's still ways I can help my team, you know. There's still, right. I can develop kids at the freshman level.
And on that point, Kenny, now did Cade come to you and say, look, I'd still like to be a part. I don't care if I have to bring out the water jugs, the towels, help tape ankles. He brought that to your attention?
Actually, correct me if I'm wrong, Kay. I believe that was Yosef's idea. It was like, hey, you know, let's get him involved with the freshman staff.
Yes.
You know, all the kids look up to Cade, you know, because he's such a leader on and off the field.
Right.
If you walk around campus, there's not too many kids that don't know him. He's involved in multiple clubs, as well as football, as well as wrestling, as well as track and field. So, you know, kids from all walks of life know him, and he's just a good kid to be around. He's in every club you can think of.
Yes.
You know, so he impacts our campus in numerous ways every day. So his impact's been felt by pretty much everyone on campus, I feel like.
And Cade, your story, your inspiration, also one of the things we wanted to make sure we didn't miss was that you're the award scholar for the SJVOA Officials Association. And I'm assuming you had to write a letter of why you deserve this type of award. Did you bring that into the message to SJVOA?
Yes, I did.
Yes. And then you talked about all the extracurricular things you do, and then in the training, and as you continue on in your education to Fresno State, you'd like to, I think there's no better equipped young man in the history of high school athletics to enter into the field of?
Kinesiology.
Yes, kinesiology, and hopefully one day turning into not just a sports trainer, maybe even the orthopedics, and start your own SPOC program or a great sports orthopedic center for kids.
Correct.
Yes. Now, I watched, you know, talking, you weren't just a football guy. You were an extremely highly competitive track athlete, a field, a thrower. And I think it was at the golf tournament, Kenny, and I was talking to your father, and I said, what an inspiration to see him in the shot put ring. He had to make up your own little glide technique, which was like baby step, baby step. Was that part of keeping your leg healthy?
Me and my coach, Mejia,
yes,
looked at a lot of the old Olympic throwers, and there was also a girl,
yes,
back a couple years ago that had her ACL replaced and stuff, and we just sort of copied,
yeah,
off of what she, yeah, did, just to be able to keep my leg stable but also be explosive at the same time.
Yeah. It gave me a tingle. I was obviously at the track meet. You finished third in the conference, so you're a part of that conference group, getting your chance to move on. To continue your track and field to the next step, the North area and all that. But I was absolutely, literally, and I'm not trying to get too emotional here, but the inspiration of just seeing you still competing, knowing just half the story of, I think he had like several knee deals going on, that the drive was still alive. So I guess that's all my point is. So for that alone, my honor and my tribute, and ESPN 940, we pay tribute to young student athletes like yourself who, against all odds, continue to push forward to get themselves through those tight situations. You are an inspiration to other student athletes, Pagmeter.
No question about it. Cade, I got a question, though. Got to see your dad swing the golf club. He's not the biggest guy in the world. Where did your height and strength and everything come from? Who's in the family's big?
My mom's side is very tall, but I don't know where I got the mass from. That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you know, his mother was part of the Swedish Olympic team. She's 6'11", 6'11", 235, full of muscle.
I'm sure she loves to hear that as she's listening at home.
Just a little humor. I mean, can you
do a little humor?
It?
That's Matt Johnson. I love that. Well,
he is a large man,
yeah,
though.
I mean, yeah,
for 2 years now, I've been south thinking, oh, God, who is that guy? That's a guy I like to see right,
yeah,
there.
Well, keep working hard, and I know you're going to be coaching as well, maybe through your college days. And, Kenny, you got a good one out there. Thanks for coming in today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And yeah, best
true
of luck.
Inspiration.
Yeah, we'll
Pat
keep
Peter.
Updated with your dad, Kevin. I want to know the progress going. Thank you. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Bobby Kay, and we'll talk a little softball and get you ready. Softball, baseball, next, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back live right here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone. This is your Rise Show. Tony D coming up next at 2. It's the Pag Meter. Matty J here at Fashion Furniture. Matt, what's the rule? If they don't have it,
you don't need it.
Because they got it all.
They have it all.
But Pag Meter, do they have beds and mattresses?
We got it.
We got it next door. And your favorite store right next to Mike Dupree, Boom Boom Mancini Dupree over there. That's your favorite.
Oh, I just, one can dream, right? Definitely someone can dream. And that's Moe's Fine Furniture.
Yeah.
And it's a heck of a unique store and a unique opportunity for you in the Valley to go out and see another side of what's traditional and what some of the places maybe down in other parts of the country, what styles do they like?
Hey, we want to give a little love out. We've lost a family member from Fashion Furniture, Dave, who worked here every Thursday. Every time we came in, Dave was awesome. So we got to talk to Dave, and he passed away a couple weeks ago. Just sad. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family. Great people here at Fashion Furniture, and he'll be missed.
Yes, indeed. He was always had a smile on his face and was quick to talk about the show.
Always, always with a smile. I love that. So, Dave, thoughts are with you. Let's never a good time to bring up a guest, but let's bring up Bobby Kay, who's working hard for the softball. We've got everyone. The teams are set, Bobby Kay, and it's going to be an exciting weekend at Bulldog Diamond.
It certainly is, and all the parts are put together. We're just waiting for the teams to show up and the first pitch to go, and away we go. And speaking of first pitches,
yes,
Friday night, CIF is honoring all first responders. So we have out of the Fresno Fire Department, Captain Mark Martinez is going to throw out a baseball and softball pitch, and out of Clovis.
We know Mark Martinez, by the way. His daughter plays for Fresno
State.
That's
right. I see. He knows a little bit about the ball.
And Melissa
ball
Martinez is one of the best golfers at Clovis West. So great family. I love him to death.
And then we have Corporal Scott Borish from the Clovis Department. He's going to throw out a pitch as well. So all first responders are getting in for free on Friday night.
Duly noted.
Very
duly
nice.
Noted. That's great, Bob.
And, of course, Friday night, the big one is going to be Stockdale versus Buchanan. I'm sorry, Stockdale versus Bullard for the Central Section Championship. And, by the way, the Pag Meter called this one back in February that Bullard would beat Stockdale for the championship. Sorry, Stockdale, but I'm just letting you know that was my prediction back then, and they're going to be playing.
Indeed, it was. You told me that. I looked it up and I verified. So you're not full of cagada.
Now, I didn't have Bullard as the number one seed or Stockdale. They Bullard did not deserve the number one seed. They got a 5 seed, and that's where I had them. But they, I think they played Bullard most of the year, Bob and Matt. But they got it going in playoff time. That team is loaded with talent.
Yes, they are. I went out and watched their game on whatever day they played this week, I think it was Tuesday, and they can hit the ball, they can field it, and they certainly have a pitcher that can find the strike zone.
Yeah, so it's going to be a really fun game on Friday night. Go ahead.
So Friday night we're going to open up our game at 5 o'clock with our Division VI Girls Championship between Foothill and Central Valley Christian.
Now, Pag Meter picked CVC to win it all back in February, and Foothill's got their work cut out for them, because CVC, they had to play Dinuba, which is playing. They're very, very good. The D3 one seed. They had to play Kingsburg, the number one seed in Division II, and they beat Hanford West, which was in Division I. Foothill Trojans, you're in trouble. I'm just
not
letting you know.
So fast, my friend. The Foothill Trojans, who competed admirably against the under-17 national team from the U.S., who is absolutely dialed in
but
and ready to play.
But they did knock off the number one seed South Rebels.
That is correct.
So you're saying whoever
they
scores
are Trojans.
More runs to win this game.
They are Trojans.
Is that right, Bob?
That's usually the way it happens.
That's what Matt is
telling
me. If
you score more runs, you'll win the game.
Yeah. So 88% of the time, that comes in handy. Go ahead.
Well, then we get obvious.
You can get them at day of the game.
Okay,
well,
so
can we let Bob go through?
Well,
I'm sure we were going to get the tickets. Tell your people to fly in on the deals on the,
you know
on
how
the
I
text
forget.
Messages, all that. I think we're going to get to the ticket side.
I forget
side.
Things.
Okay, so let me just get to the most asked questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, there are no advanced sales.
Okay, that's what they want.
Okay, we are not We're not equipped for advanced sales, but you'll have plenty of opportunity to buy a ticket because guess what? You don't have to stand outside the stadium once you buy your ticket. And once you are inside the stadium is not going to be cleared until that session is over.
Best news I've heard all year.
Well, yeah, really. See, I'm working on Bob. I think he hates me.
I can buy my ticket. I can go inside the theater and sit down and get ready to watch Star Wars without having to wait for another session.
Now, the last 3 years, they brought in the first responders, the fire hoses, and they would hose everyone out of there. So they shoved everyone out to bring them back in, but they're not doing that anymore.
Hey, we're not talking about water and rain and any of that stuff.
Okay, the other question they want to know is, why is Bullard playing Stockdale on Friday night and not in a showdown on Saturday night?
Well, the simple answer for that is this. We wanted to avoid teams that could potentially play in both the softball and baseball championships.
Okay.
So for this year, baseball times were set. And in this year, softball will be the flex sport and adjust their times.
Okay.
In subsequent years, we'll flip-flop that.
But it kind of worked out.
It worked out very well, and it's the best answer I've ever heard.
Well, the three baseball teams that were questionable moving, they all lost yesterday.
Well, we do have a duplicate in Foothill.
Yeah.
But Foothill is scheduled to play on a Friday night and a Saturday night, so we didn't need to rearrange that.
They're
going
to have to get a hotel, unless they want to go all the way back to Bakersfield, right? it's up to them.
That's up to them, yeah.
All right, let's go Saturday. Keep going.
Saturday morning, we have a very interesting matchup at 9:30 in the morning. We have the Panthers at Washington Union taking on the Red Cats from Fowler.
Here's an interesting story. So Sydney Kuma, who was the Hot Stove League Player of the Year for me, she won the section in soccer. They got hot at the end, and Washington Union is coming in red hot. I'm seeing the same kind of little twist here. But Fowler knocked off the number one seed, Dos Palos, who I thought was an easy shoe-in. They're going to be playing at Bulldog Diamond. So this is going to be a good match on 9:30 in the morning.
9:30 in the morning, breakfast at Margie Wright, and come on out and enjoy it. 30 minutes after that game finishes, we are going to welcome Templeton, one of our newer teams, into our section, and they're going to take on Dinuba.
Very good matchup. Number one, one against the two seed. Templeton is for real, and so is Dinuba, of course, who beat Bullard twice this year, so that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, and it's interesting to finally get those one and two seeds for the big part of this baseball softball run. The top seeds haven't pushed through, so this is going to be a big one.
Yes.
And I think the most interesting game for myself is going to be the 5 o'clock game on Saturday night. You remember, we take the break in the afternoon, then we come back with feature games at night. But for me, 5 o'clock, Carruthers taking on Kern Valley. How about this first story? Carruthers wins the state championship in basketball, and some of those players turn around and come back and win a section championship in softball.
It makes for a very good jewelry case when you get to add it up at the end of your career, all those rings.
You mean you're talking Carruthers won the state championship? Let's say you said Kern Valley.
No, he said Carruthers.
I thought he said Kern Valley.
Yeah, I thought he said Carruthers.
Oh, okay. Well, if he did.
Anything else over there you want to get into and ruin our vibe over here?
No, there's no vibe.
Carruthers. They won. Okay. We got that.
Keep going.
And then our feature game on Saturday night will be a Division II championships where the Hanford Bullpups will take on the Vikings of Kingsburg.
And this is, I've been waiting all year. It's 1-2, 2-1 all year long. It's finally the heavyweight championship. It's going to be a good one. Hanford is on fire. Kingsburg's on fire.
So who do you like, Pagmeter?
I've got Hanford. I picked Hanford way back in the day, playing Kingsburg on Saturday night. But I said, now Kingsburg, put it on the chalkboard if you want, whatever you want to do. But I picked Hanford back in February.
And after that, it's going to be some rest for this old word guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you.
That'll top off your school year.
I'm going to tell you now, Bob, you're going to have a great crowd because you got so many great games. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. I like how you're not shooing everyone out. They can stay for each session. It's going to be fun. The weather, Matt Meter, what's the weather look like?
Weather's going to be nice. A little overcast, but I think the rain.
It's not hot.
No, it's not hot. It's going to be great weather.
Oh, beautiful. And the Pag Meter's
the ball will be a little heavy.
Pitch.
It won't fly quite as far, but we'll see.
Pag Meter's throwing out the first pitch Saturday night at 5?
He is.
All right.
I think that'll be enough to just fill the stands.
There you go.
How are you going to throw it, Pag Meter?
How did I throw it, Bob? Tell him.
Well, he brought some heat.
He brought some heat?
Underhand.
Did he snap it off his hip?
Yep.
How did
the stride? Right down Cockapoo Lane.
Yeah, you took a big step forward towards the plate. And
I was legal.
You were legal.
Yeah. Right down Cockapoo Lane. Bob even went, whoa. So
Now
he's saying that, it's going to probably dribble it or go over the catcher's head. That's just how it happens. I can't do that again. It'll never happen again.
Well, good. Good stuff.
Yeah, so Saturday, you can get tickets a day of the game, get there early enough, but the food is so good at Bulldog Diamond. Jimmy Pardini has that barbecue going. Great cheeseburgers out there.
Yeah, Jimmy Pardini is amazing to work with. He's even going to come up with a special high school-style menu for these games. That's how engaged he is with our communities.
But Matt, you got to show.
What does that mean? We're going to have like sloppy joes and
no, it's
corn
really, really good stuff.
He's good stuff.
Yeah, Jimmy's out the barbecue out there.
Well, we know Jimmy Pardini, and we like everything about what he does for our valley.
Every game is going to be great. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk baseball.
Yeah, well, it's baseball. We got to finish with the track and field. Walter's in the wings waiting to talk about this weekend's Masters Championship.
Yes.
The run for the Valley goes through Buchanan once again, greatest show on turf.
We'll do baseball and wrap it up with track. And if you want to call in real fast and say, hey, who's going to win it this year, 844-940-ESPN. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back, live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. We're getting you ready for this weekend. Bob's in the house. We're talking softball and now a little baseball action. And we had some great games yesterday, Division I. Of course, we said James Patrick and the Clovis Cougars come back and beat San Luis Obispo 7-5. Frontier wins in 11. They beat Rigetti, and it's Clovis versus Frontier. That's going to be our game on 940 ESPN Saturday night, guys. I think Clovis, this place is going to be jamming with Cougar fans.
Yes, and Frontier, we knew all along in the beginning of the year what type team they had coming back. Almost all their big guns, and of course, most of their team came back as underclassmen. They are loaded.
Yeah, question, Bob, and it's going to be. You're going to be hearing a lot of yelling across the street from softball, but do you like both teams going? I mean, both stadiums across the street from each other?
I'm thrilled with it. I said a couple of years ago on this show that my ultimate dream was to have that the section championship separated by Cedar Avenue.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's go Saturday. Or before we go to Saturday, we got a game on Friday night. It's going to be Liberty and Madera Ranchos, and this is going to be another one. I picked it a long time ago. I did pick Liberty, beating Minarets, and Minarets isn't happy, but they're playing each other. The one-seed Minarets taking on the two-seed Liberty, the defending champs. Matt, this is going to be a good one. This is right before the 8 o'clock game.
Yeah, we're going to start this game at 4:30 in the afternoon, and right now everything is scheduled on every 3 hours. So.
And with all that new home development out there off the 41 freeway, those two schools are in close proximity. What a rivalry.
Let's go Saturday morning at 9:30. Menachie with a walk-off beats Bakersfield Christian 6-5. Chowchilla shuts out Fowler 1-0. So it's Chowchilla taking on the Menachie Marauders for the Division IV section championship. Following that game, we got our first team from the Central Section. The Atascadero Greyhounds are coming in.
From the coast.
From the coast. What did I say?
Central Section.
They're in our Central Coast section.
Yeah, Central Coast coming in our way.
A team that I picked Highland to win it all. I thought they'd be playing Manuel back then, but Manuel got shut out or got beat. Atascadero takes on Highland, and what I understand, Atascadero's for real.
They are. The Greyhounds have just about everything you need to make a great baseball team. Outstanding defense. Pop in the lineup with outstanding pitching. Atascadero is to be reckoned with.
But I got to take Highland. I picked them in February. I'm sticking with my Scott. They're 28-2.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Division 6 at 4:30. The Foothill Trojans taking on the Bishop Union Broncos, and Bishop Union is the real deal. And they're going to leave like now to get there for Saturday because it's about a 36-hour drive from Bishop to Bulldog Peabody Field. Matt, you've been there before.
I have. I've spent a lot of time there at Mammoth Mountain and skiing and doing what I like to do. However, Foothill Trojans have a lot to go for. That campus is on fire right now. The enthusiasm and the passion for the athletic programs is unparalleled. They've got the girls in and the boys in. They're trying to take home both titles.
And then, of course, Friday night, we went all the way to Saturday. Friday night is the number one against number two seed. I had this one picked. I picked Memorial beating Sanger. Sanger beat Memorial this year 2 out of 3, but this is for the Division II section championship. And you got Jake Harrell, who's our Hot Stove League Pitcher of the Year, the big lefty's going to Fresno State, and he's going to be fired up to take on Memorial. It is going to be jam-packed on Friday night at Pete Biden Field.
Well, anytime you can get two schools from the same conference, the County Metro Athletic Conference, playing for a championship, the spirits will be high, and it's going to be a good one.
And a lot of Sanger, Apache Nation, is going to be there, Bob. It's going to be fun.
32,000 people are going to storm onto Biden Field.
It's gonna be special out here this weekend. You're gonna see high school fans.
Bobby's shaking his head. We can accommodate 2,500. 32,000 might be a little much. 4,000 would be nice.
We'll get a big screen out in the football field if that happens.
Yes, we will.
Bob, so weather's nice. Be good. You're gonna be working with Jim Critchlow. Will he be across the street or how's it work?
Jeff Cardozo will be overseeing baseball.
Okay.
At Pete Biden Field, and Jim Critchlow will be with me over at softball over at Margie Raitt. But we'll have a golf cart so Jim can go back and forth and check on both venues.
I like it. There's that golf cart we've been
having. Yeah, I always like to have a golf cart.
So two umpires, three umpires, how are we working this weekend?
Three umpires, both softball and baseball.
Nice. This is big time, Matt. This is big. Because we want to, I think the out-of-town teams, we want to make sure they're taken care of. We don't want any, oh, it was a horrible call. I would love to see, there's some softball umpires, they stand right behind the catcher. You can't see low pitches. I don't know. I want to see umpires standing between the batter, between the catcher and the batter. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I leave it to the people who are training those guys. And they've done a great job.
A whole show without criticizing officiating.
I love the officials. They've done a great job, and I've seen softball is a whole other world than baseball. Night and light years different. The way some of them swing the bats, it still drives me crazy.
Yeah, the slap hitters.
If your daughter is swinging and that bat hits her back at any moment, zero chance she's going to play at the next level. Zero. And then the other thing that bugs me. They show bunt because they do it for timing. And then they pull the bat back and they're ready to hit. Right-handed hitters are doing this. Whoever taught these people how to hit, please get rid of it. Get a new bat hitting coach. Zero chance you're going to be hitting at the next level. Now, you can hit soft pitching all day long. Show bunt, pull it back and hit.
Yep, saw that happen UCLA, Arizona. Yep, they certainly didn't make it. They're playing for the Arizona Wildcats.
Exactly. There you go. Bob.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you're full of cagati but I like your coaching and your assessments.
When you drag bunt,
I love the zero chance.
Well,
I mean, you have no chance.
I'm going to show you sometime because you have no idea. I know you don't know how to hit. I get that. You don't know how to hold a bat. We'll teach you on that.
Yeah, you showed me your grip. Yeah,
well, let's bring Walter over here.
Walter Jackson up and let's finish off show. With the Masters, Grand Masters of Track and Field.
And when does it all happen?
It all happens this Saturday.
Okay.
4 o'clock. Get there
Buchanan.
Early. At Buchanan's.
Okay.
Palatial Palace, the Track and Field
which
venue.
Which is not far from you. Well, let me show you.
I will leave there, and I'll head right on over to baseball.
We will have the limo, the 940 ESPN limo, ready for you.
Good. Bobby will be there to pick me up. That's perfect.
Walter, welcome in.
Matt pulled me in.
Yeah, I
pulled prepared.
So is this a big year for track and field for our valley?
Yes.
So we got some talent.
Not only do you have some talent, there are some valley kids who are favored to win state titles. First of all, you already have two returning champions.
Okay.
Ludwig on the girl's side. And
yes, Jocelyn Budwig of Fowler, great thrower. You might have heard of her.
And Vivril's the...
Daniel Vivril. Oh, gotcha.
And he just threw a bomb last week.
Oh, yeah.
71-3.
Oh, yeah. Went over.
So he's
big favorite.
And then the pole vaulter from Clovis West is a 13-plus.
Nine.
Lizzie
the
Funk.
Girl who won last year was a 12-6. So
let's just throw it out there. If anyone's listening from Clovis West, the Funk family, by far the greatest athletic family I think ever. Let's just throw it out there. Every kid is an elite superstar in college somewhere.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, the Foster family's not doing too bad either.
I was just getting ready to say, unfortunately, and Matt knows this, when you're friends with a lot of kids and a lot of parents, you have to be careful what you say. I thought that Caleb Foster was going to have a monster year. I predicted he would go 25 feet in the long jump. And I was down at Arcadia when he went 25.5, number two in the nation behind
yes.
bowling the white kids. And
say, yeah, there you go, baby.
26.
Yeah.
But
Matthew Bowen.
But the problem that I have is that even though I'm rooting for Foster to win the state title, I think he's the odds-on favorite right now. The defending champion from last year looked like he's been injured most of the year. Clemens out of St. Mary's Berkeley, he's jumping again. They're going to be jumping in the North Coast up probably in the rain. I don't know if he's healthy enough to beat Foster, but he went 25-1 last year. So that's. But I have Foster. Right now, Foster just took up the triple jump. And Foster could very well win state triple jump.
Yeah, and also, absolutely. And he's an outstanding high hurdler, too. And to me, and I just sat with Mr. Bull of DISTAT, the leader in the industry of track and field, especially in each high school group of the state. And they're all curious to see if he gets in a 110 high hurdle race. It seems like he really hasn't had to really turn it on yet.
Well, the problem that I have, and this is just me, he went
1390-something, yeah.
Okay. He was like fourth at state last year, but the two kids
yeah,
who are
back.
Ahead of him are back.
Yes.
The kid from Merrill West.
1336.
So you've got basically he's in that mix. If he just ran that event and focused on it,
yeah.
But running 4x1, long jumping, triple jumping, it makes it problematic.
Yeah, and Walter, and the boys, my favorite race, there's two favorite races, mm-hmm. but they're both relays, and the boys 4x1 mm-hmm. Relay. Right. Clovis North, do you think they're ready to go real, really low?
They cannot, period. Last year I had them going 41 flat. They went 41-1. They're not as fast as they were last year. I've already told everybody it's Polly. If they
yeah.
don't drop the stick, they went 40.87 last
yes.
week. So Polly boys is back with a vengeance. They were.
But as far as our valley goes, they're far and away.
There's nobody
out there.
No, nobody can run with Clovis North in the
yeah.
valley. Period.
Yeah.
Not even close.
And now in the we talked briefly about Viveros. I mean, you're also seeing Christian Johnson, the great thrower from Buchanan, who's now just been kind of blown away with this Daniel Viveros. But I always felt like Johnson, and I got word he's going to the University of Texas, by the way, is one of the national leaders in the hammer throw. Unfortunately, in California, we don't throw the hammer, but he has that kind of fast body type where he might uncork a discus.
Johnson is going to be there. The discus is going to be interesting for me.
Yes.
Because you've got that Van Grau kid who shot. I mean, as a sophomore, you're loaded. The
what a body he is. I wonder if that guy plays any
and
football.
Then you got that girl Faith Bender down at.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the valley is going to be, I would say, there's a potential they could have at least five or six champions at state.
Yes.
If they don't, but they got to get through this weekend and be healthy a
yeah.
week from.
Yeah.
From
now, you've been doing this for so many years, going to the state meet, which comes
uh-huh.
up in the next, not this week, but the following
uh-huh.
week. Forever, it was always that our section ended early, and we had to sit around and wait for
right.
the southern section to go through all those qualifiers
that's
and
right.
all that. Do you like the format like that, or do you like the format where week to week you've got to go compete as you go on your way to state?
I personally have mixed feelings. I think it being a week early with Memorial Day, it
yep.
kind of evens it up for everybody.
Yep.
You know, the kids in the valley used to finish 2 weeks early. Everybody else did the following week. Now everybody's going to be finishing the same weekend.
Yeah.
So basically everybody's going to be equally rested. The problem that you have is a disaster. Calabasas girls, who were the odds-on favorite to win state, had a coaching error. Assistant coach put some girls in
yes, I heard
five
that.
Events and all of a sudden, they DQ'd from those events, and they 4x1.
You can never run again.
They were the state leader.
They were state leader in 4x1.
State leader in 4x1, they are out.
We want your tennis shoes back, and you're never going to run again.
Well,
horrible.
And we talked about that,
yeah.
Nick, and last time you were on the show with me, and we made pulled it right out of the newspaper reports from Ventura and everything else. Right. And it, sure enough, that is exactly how it went down. They've been disqualified for the rest
of
the year.
Yeah, the 4x1, they have a girl in 100 hurdles, 300 hurdles. They had a sophomore sprinter. What's going to be interesting?
They were going to win the state, right? Walter, the girls?
Oh, it was a shoe-in. It was nobody even close.
Yeah.
But I get in trouble if I say this, but on the prep sites, they're picking Buchanan girls. So, but I'm not so sure.
Why aren't they asking Walter? Huh? Prep sites.
The girls are going to be close.
Yeah.
Because part of it's going to come down to who you qualify. Buchanan is expected to qualify a ton of kids Saturday.
Well, you opened the show talking about Mr. Foster, Caleb Foster, right, the outstanding athletic jumper. His father was a preeminent power from Jamaica, I believe.
Probably one of the nicest human beings you'll ever want to meet.
Great hurdler. My son got a chance to work with him a little bit out at Fresno State. But you said that about Foster in the long jump. But then you did mention the super scintillating senior, unbelievable Matthew Bowling out of Houston, Texas private school, who just went bonkers here the last few weeks. And, you know, I have to say it. I mean, it is what it is. You being my African-American brother here, he's a white kid. And he's absolutely, unquestionably one of the unique speed guys and jump guys. Have you seen anything in high school that rivals that type of a long jump coupled with the 100, 200? And then, oh, by the way, he went 44-something in his 400-meter split on the relay.
Let me tell you this, Matt. You and I are sports people.
Yeah.
And because we're sports people, we don't care about color, ethnicity, and
that's
all
right.
That other. Either you're good or you're not.
That's right.
Okay. Otto Bolden, who I know.
Yes.
Who went to high school in San Jose, you see all the stuff.
Yep.
Does all the commentary. Otto, when he was asked about the boys, when they did 100-meter time, 9.9, whatever.
Yeah.
He said that equates to like a 10.1, 10.2, 100-meter. Mm-hmm. Then he said the most impressive thing about the kid wasn't his sprint, but it was his long jump.
Yes.
I didn't realize he was the kid who went 26.2 at the Texas Relays.
Right.
Only Stallworth's national record. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. This kid ran in the juniors last year in the 400. He ran 46 flat. So he comes back the last week at the Texas Relays, ties the record, 10.13.
Yeah.
And then he runs a relay and snatches the national leader from an impossible distance and get him in a 44-something split. Is he legit? Come on now.
And just think, one false start and he has to go home.
That's correct. But I think he's going to Georgia. I think
It looks like he's going to Georgia.
Yeah, I think
yes.
he's committed to
you
Georgia.
You know, it's like just like when those girls got disqualified playing in five events. It'd be like James Patrick put a left fielder in the center field and no one told, what? Get him out. He can't play ever again. So dumbest rule.
Well, that is,
truck
that is
stupid.
Something,
that
Come
is
something
on. Let's
that
change
we
some rules.
Definitely are
Ridiculous.
Full agreement on. Before we leave and finish the day, I
Come
wanted
on.
To ask Walter this question about what happened to Calabasas is that these young ladies somehow got entered in more than just four events. And we sat around with Bob Kajanian, Bobby, our producer, Russ has a take on it, Nick Papagni had a take on it, and I certainly had a take on it from Art, that in football you can play offense, defense, and special teams and put in a load of work that rivals it just about anything out there. You can play an entire game of basketball in a full-court press situation where you run over six miles during the course of a basketball game. But in the world of track and field, you're trying to tell me I can't pole vault, long jump, high jump, and run two relay events, and that's too much for me?
I'm going to tell you what got them in trouble.
Yes.
The one girl was running 4x1. Well, they didn't have to run in the prelims.
Yeah.
So the coach wanted to get some extra work in these girls who
That's
weren't
right.
going to be running events.
That's right.
Like, your 100th girl may not have to run.
That's right.
So now they run in these events. But what the rule was that those events are finals even though they moved on.
Oh, I understand that. But in the world of track and field as athletes, is it really too much to ask a certain high school athlete if he or she is that qualified and good? Why can't you go in six events
because,
if you can handle it?
Matt, I've shared with people that I'm 70 years old now.
Yes.
And I'm old enough to remember the Wayne Collette rule. And I was up at Cal Berkeley when Wayne Collette competed in seven events, and UCLA won that title. And they almost killed that poor boy. And so they basically put in these rules that we're not going to have one coach kill 8 million kids because they want to run them in
but
all these events.
But once again, I just in the world of football, in high school, I played offense, defense, special teams, never left the game. And in the world of track and field, I was asked on one particular week, and my dad had me run in a cross-country event out of the park.
Okay.
The next day we had USA track and field stuff going on, and I competed in the four, the eight, the two, and the one, and I think I ran a relay for some strange reason. And I woke up on the next day, and I was a little sore, but that was it. Are we really thinking that five events is going to kill someone?
Matt, the problem that you have is you may have a kid who's your fastest 100-meter runner,
yeah,
your fastest 200-meter runner,
right,
your fastest 400-meter runner,
yes,
your fastest 110-hurdle runner, your fastest 300-hurdle runner, your best long jumper, and your best triple jumper.
We have one
beautiful
of those. Matt Bowling out of Houston,
so are you
Texas.
So are you going to let the kid compete?
Let him win the state.
Are you going to let the kid compete?
I think we should have him sit on Mommy's lap, give him a Pop-Tart and maybe a balloon, and say, you can't play even though you're the best. We have to have someone else run for you, okay? And then we'll come. Come here, little Johnny, because you can't.
How about this
best.
Idea? I don't know if we've heard of this or not, but in the Olympic Games, they have an event called the decathlon. That's 10 events in 2 days.
That is correct.
And we can't handle a kid high jumping, long jumping, running the 4x1, the 4x4, and oh, by the way, I need you today to run the 400 open because you're the best in the business. I just don't think it's right. I think it needs to be looked into. I think the number one rule is, before we get break, first of all, Walter Jackson, yeah, for your devotion to local athletics, high school, everything you do, we thank you. We salute you, Walter, for staying. I'll see you at the Masters Championship at Buchanan. As always, Nick Papagni, your rule of the red jacket, someone's going to come, probably from San Diego, in a few weeks for the state championships and absolutely flinch in a little bit of the wind conditions, and he's going to get red carded, and he's going to have to explain to his mom and dad and his aunts and uncles and all the family members that drove from Chula Vista, California, that we have to get back to our hotel room and check out early. I'm done.
If that happens, they should give her their hotel room back, because Captain Kangaroo over there with the red jacket said, you can't play anymore. I thought I heard a car. I don't know, but you can't run anymore. If that happens, please just say, you know what, I made a mistake. Take it on the team and let them run again. Right? Blame it on the red jacket guy with their white shoes, with the mustard on the pants. He probably had a hot dog up in the stands, and he's struggling. Right? Probably forgot one sock. He's got a blue sock and a green sock. He doesn't know. Come on. He's got the little gun. He can't tell. Did
it
click?
Do you prefer Walter Jackson, a resident track and field expert? Do you prefer one against the field or one false start, you're done?
I like one on the field.
One on the field.
I prefer to see kids run. I'm going to just share this with you. When you mentioned the earlier thing about the depth of this meet, in the 100, you got like all of the qualifiers in the first heat went under 11 seconds.
Yeah.
And the boys.
Wow.
Okay, before we get out
get
of here,
ready.
I mentioned the Funk family, the greatest athletes
yes.
ever. Torrey Funk, one of the greatest divers in the history of high school. Elizabeth Funk,
yep.
What did she just do? You tell me.
Pole vault. Hello.
Pole vault. All-time record.
All-time
record. Kellyanne Funk, one of the greatest divers in Pac-12 history. And Christian Funk plays at Oklahoma State, just hit three.
Yeah, and let's not forget Fred Funk, the greatest sweet hitter of a golf ball you've ever
going to
see.
I want to thank Kate Sherrod joining us today. Bobby K, we'll see you out this weekend, baseball, softball, at Biden Field and at Bulldog Diamond. I will have everything on my Twitter. Thanks, Bobby and Russ. Tony D coming up next, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.